Good evening. I apologize for my froggy voice, but I think I have some allergies and they're working on me a little bit. The title that I've given to these devotional thoughts tonight is, What is My Burden? What is My Compassion? What is My Concern? And I throw it out as a challenge to myself first, and then as a challenge to each one of you. You might put in there, what is your burden? What is your compassion? What is your challenge? And I'd like for us to turn to a couple of scriptures. The first one we will find in Mark chapter 16 is just one verse. Mark 16 and verse 15. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. And he said unto them, Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now we know that in Matthew we find that toward the end of the book as the great commission that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And there we have it repeated in Mark. The second reference that I'd like for us to turn to is found in Matthew chapter 9. And it's verses 35 through 38. And we're all familiar with most of these scriptures, but in thinking about winning the lost and the value of one soul is one reason for looking at these particular scriptures. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 35, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to be challenged from it as to what our responsibility and opportunity is to win the lost. We pray that you'll help us to take what is given from your word and apply it to our own lives, and that you may use us as vessels that we might be fragrance to the lost and draw men and women to the Lord Jesus. We ask this in his lovely name. Amen. The idea for this particular devotion came from something that a lot of you probably use every morning, and it came from the September 10 Daily Bread devotional. And the title of that, and I'm going to read just a few excerpts from it because it tells it pretty clearly to me, of God's concern, of the Lord Jesus' interest in one individual. It's called Evie's Decision. Evie was one of 25 American teenagers in a high school choir that traveled to Jamaica. I hate that Bunny and Ruth are not here tonight. To sing, witness, and show God's love to people of a different culture and generation. And for Evie, one day of that trip was particularly memorable and joy-filled. That day, the choir went to a nursing home to sing and visit with the residents. After they sang, Evie sat down with a young woman who lived at the home, a woman in her early 30s. Now, they don't tell us what had happened to her, but normally in nursing homes, you don't find too many 30-year-olds. So I'm assuming maybe she'd been in an accident. As they began to chat, Evie felt that she should talk about Jesus, who he was, and what he did for us. She showed her verses in the Bible that explained salvation. Soon the woman said she wanted to trust Jesus as her Savior, and that's just what she did. Because of Evie's decision to start a conversation about Jesus, our group celebrated a new birth into God's family that day. Now I would like for us to look at an incident, an example that we have, and this is my main text, we're all familiar with it, about the Lord's concern and His compassion for one individual. And we'll find that in Acts chapter 8. And we are all very familiar with this portion of Scripture. And Acts chapter 8, we'll be reading from verse 25 through verse 39. And what we're going to be looking at is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So we'll begin with Acts chapter 8 and begin with verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Elias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Elias. And he said, Understandest thou what thou speakest, or what thou readest? And he said, How can I? Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shears, so openeth he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See here, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Several things I want us to look at here very briefly in the time that's left about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. If you look back at verse 26, you see Philip's commission. And we know when we read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 that the disciples were commissioned to go and preach all over the whole world to every creature. But here we see in verse 26 that the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. And we see that there he was commissioned to leave a work that, according to a couple of references that I turned to, one of them William MacDonald, that they were having good results, Philip and this other people that were with him, as going into these villages and preaching and teaching about the Lord. But because of God's concern, because of God's compassion, because of the Lord Jesus' interest in one individual, we see that Philip was told by the angel of the Lord to arise and go. Not only do we see his commission, but in verse 27, we see his obedience. And we read there that it says, And he rose and went. And it was immediate. There was no dilly-dallying around, but Philip left what he was doing and obeyed the Lord, who used an angel to speak to him, to go to meet with this one individual. And we also see that when we look in verses 29 and 30, not only was he immediate in his obedience, but we see that in verse 30 that it said, Philip ran thither to him. And when I read about somebody running, I think about Mark Shelley and all of his running and how well he did recently. No, that wasn't in here. But anyway, that shows me that Philip was not only obedient, but he was enthusiastic. He was excited about being obedient and doing what the Lord asked him to do by way of the angel telling him to go down to Gaza, because he ran to the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, we see with the Ethiopian eunuch several different things. Number one, he was a needy stranger. Philip had no idea who he was going to see, but he was obedient, he was enthusiastic, and he goes to meet with someone that is a stranger to him. And we see that the home of this stranger in verse 27 was in dark Africa, in Gaza. And dark Africa was a place where there was no gospel, there was no preacher, there was no Bible. And we compare that today with America. We have a very dark society today, and millions of people are groping about in darkness, even though today we have Bibles, we have preachers, and we have the gospel, because Satan has blinded the minds and the eyes of so many people to what their real need is. So America, even though we have these things, the Bible, the gospel, the preacher, it's almost as if we were heathen here, many. We also, his need, and we see his need, the Ethiopian need, was for a teacher. And we see that in verses 30 and 31. He said, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Elias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, How can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So we see also in a scripture in Romans 10, you don't have to turn there, you're very familiar with this. In Romans 10, verses 13 through 17, we read these thoughts. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed thy report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this Ethiopian eunuch, he treasured the word of God, and he found not what he was looking for when he went into Jerusalem, and he was reading the word of God, but he didn't understand it. So he needed a preacher, or he needed a teacher. And the responsibility tonight for every believer is to witness for Christ and to preach the gospel to the unsaved. That's our challenge. Now, what was the message? We know about his home. We know about his need. What was the message? Well, he was reading in Isaiah chapter 53, which is a portion of Scripture that is prophetic about the suffering of our Savior, and we're all familiar with it because on many Sunday mornings at the Lord's Supper, someone will refer to that passage of Scripture and will elaborate or explain to us in some detail some things maybe we've never seen. But he read from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, but he also was reading the whole chapter. And when Philip got up into the chariot, he read that to him and preached unto him Jesus, just as Evie had done for the 30-year-old young lady in the nursing home. Well, what was the result? What happened when the Word of God went out and this one who was searching heard it, and then it was made clear to him by this teacher, by this preacher, Philip? Well, the result was that he got saved and he asked to be baptized. And he was baptized, and he went on his way rejoicing. We know that when a soul gets saved, the angels in heaven rejoice. But we also know that the person who gets saved is a different person the moment that they ask the Lord into their heart, and they go on their way rejoicing. There is some question by many people, how do we reach millions of people? What is the best way to reach millions of people with the gospel? And some would say, have crusades like Billy Graham did for so many years, and they were very effective, and many thousands of people were won to the Lord. And some may even be familiar with the fact that for several weeks, maybe several months, there was a tent on I-85 at Cox Toyota. The man that owns the Toyota place evidently is a very strong Christian and permitted this evangelist to have his tent, or tents. He may have had more than one. I rode by there several times, but I'm not sure how many tents he had. But there was much prayer evidently in the city of Burlington before this fella came. And I heard one time from somebody that 100 people had gotten saved. But I got corrected on that since then. 1,200 souls came to know the Lord Jesus while that tent was up and that evangelist was there. So there is no question in most people's minds that doing crusades, having revival meetings or gospel meetings where you attract hundreds and maybe thousands in is probably a great way. But that story about Philip and the evangelist, Ethiopian eunuch, who was the treasurer for Candace. I didn't tell you that, but it was in the scriptures there. The story brings up the question to which brings the larger results, preaching to men in great numbers or telling men individually about the Lord. I got an interesting statistic here. Some people think that winning just one person at a time to Christ would be a slow process, but listen to this. I have a book that I bought years ago by Henrietta Mears. Anybody in here ever heard of Henrietta Mears? Maybe not. But anyway, as a lady who wrote What the Bible is All About. And these statistics are not up to date. They're from 1966. But here's what she said. There are over 190 million people in the United States. That was in 1966. Suppose you were the only Christian among them. 190 million today. You win one soul of the 190 million today. Then tomorrow you too win one soul each for Christ. On the following day, each one of you four do the same. The next day, eight of you win one apiece. Sound like small numbers. Here is a startling fact. This is the statistics. If each of these Christians and the newly Christians should win one soul a day to Christ, how long would it take to win 190 million? Now, when I read this, it blew my mind. And I've already shared it with Mark. And I think it blew his mind. Just less than 1 month from the day that the first one began. Now, we know that Billy Graham preached all over the world. And we know there were thousands that came to his crusades, and thousands over time got saved. And we know 1,200 got saved. But when we were in Evangelism Explosion, a lot of us went through that program, 1988 with Charlie Crawford, that was the whole nucleus or the whole main theme of Evangelism Explosion. Win a soul, then that soul becomes a soul winner, and now we got two, and then we got the four, and the explosion was the thing that we just read here from Henrietta Mears. The value of one soul we cannot ever figure. It's beyond our comprehension. I want to go to a couple of other items that I've got here when I get to my last page. This is a story that I borrow from a lot of people. You've learned that already. I'm not very creative or original, but I'm real good at borrowing from other people. This was Adrian Rogers' story at the end of a message on BBN one morning, I think last week. But it was pretty powerful to me. And Adrian Rogers is dead. They're now playing his tapes on BBN. So, but Adrian Rogers was a very good speaker and a man of God. An uneducated believer had much concern for a highly intellectual neighbor. This neighbor had all kind of degrees. He was well educated and far above the knowledge and learning of this uneducated believer. But this uneducated believer desired that this man would be saved. So he had been to his home on several occasions and witnessed to him, but to no avail. Never had he gotten past just a man listening, and then just nothing really seemed to affect him as far as conviction that he needed the Lord Jesus. But on this particular day, this particular night, he told his wife, "I'm going to see whoever he was." And so he went to the neighbor's house. He rang the doorbell, and the neighbor, the courteous neighbor that he was, invited him in. They talked about the weather and a few things, and then our uneducated believer started giving him various verses from the Bible of the plan of salvation. With every scripture that he gave to this intellect, this highly educated man with a lot of degrees, he rebuffed him and turned it off, and it was like water on a duck's back. So after a while, the uneducated believer became very discouraged and was beginning to feel like, "I'm a failure." So he walked over. Evidently, they were seated. He got up and walked over to the man, put his hand on his shoulder, and he said, "I love you, and I just wanted to see you get saved." And he said, "I'm on my way." So he goes out the front door, and he leaves the intellectual, highly educated, a lot of degrees man. He gets home, rings the door, doesn't ring the doorbell. He's probably got a key to his own house. So anyway, he goes in. And his wife says, "How'd it go, honey?" And he says, I feel like I'm a failure. He said, I just feel like I'm a failure. She said, "Supper's ready. You know, I'm sure it smelled good and it's a good meal." He said, "I'm not hungry. I'm not going to eat anything. I'm just going in the bedroom and pray." So he went into the bedroom, shut the door, and she could hear him weeping, and he was praying. Shortly thereafter, the doorbell rang. This is the best part. I saved it till the last. She goes to the doorbell. It's the intellectual, highly educated neighbor. And he says, "Where is your husband?" I don't think he wants to see anybody," his wife says to the highly educated, intellectual neighbor. "I don't think he wants to see anybody. He's back in the bedroom." He said, "I think he'll want to see me." So she goes and knocks on the bedroom door, says, "Honey," he comes out, and he sees the neighbor. And he's overwhelmed, but he's confused too. So he says to him, "Did you come here just to ridicule me or to mock because, you know, I just didn't get anywhere or you didn't have any interest?" He said, "I rebuffed every statement you made, every verse you read to me until you got up and walked over to me and put your hand on my shoulder and said, 'I love you, and I just want you to be saved.'" He said, "When you left, I thought about that, and it was on my mind, and it was on my heart, and I had no answer. I had no rebuff for what you said." And he said, "I came here because I want to get saved." So what is the value of an individual soul? We don't know. It's beyond human comprehension. More value than all the gold, all the whatever, other precious metal you can think of. And I just pray that we will take these thoughts that the Lord laid on my heart by reading Evie's decision out of our daily bread, and that we will be challenged, each one of us, to be better servants, better witnesses, and that we might win many before the Lord's return. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the good news of the gospel, and how we thank you that when we were coming along, someone shared it with us, and we made that decision. Some of us as little children, some of us not so young, but you sought us when we were not seeking you. And so we thank you for that time in our life when each one of us who are here that are saved asked you to come into our heart, forgive us of our sins, and to be our Savior. What a difference you make, and we thank you for that and pray that we might make a difference every day, and may we be alert to opportunity as we cross different individuals' paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.